on to The Sun on the Strip. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun. I'm here every Wednesday to get you caught up on everything that's going on in entertainment and more from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. I've got a magical interview to share with you today, but before we get to that, a little bit of news. Not much news from the Strip right now. It is September, and last week the Mirage reopened after being closed for 5 months, and a little bit of a surprise upon its reopening on August 27th as the street leading off the Strip to the property was renamed Siegfried and Roy Drive to recognize the illusionists who performed at the Mirage from 1990 to 2003. A pretty cool way to honor some of the most iconic entertainers to ever hit the Strip. MGM Resort CEO Bill Hornbuckle said, "Siegfried and Roy helped us launch the Mirage, and it is fitting their legacy helps us reopen today. Their incredible show played a tremendous role putting the Mirage on the map. Today we put them on the Las Vegas map forever." Hornbuckle also opened the Mirage. I think he was vice president of hotel operations at the time when the resort famously opened in 1989. A little bit of food news that broke yesterday. Virgin Hotels Las Vegas has announced the restaurants that will populate the new resort when it reopens. I'm sorry, when it opens at the site of the former Hard Rock Hotel. I wrote a story about this. You can find it at lasvegasweekly.com or at lasvegassun.com. Virgin had already confirmed that some of the restaurants from the Hard Rock, Nobu, MB Steak, and Pizza Forte, would be remaining. Stuff that survived from the Hard Rock days to the Virgin days. And now the property has announced, looks like the full portfolio. The Highlights, Todd English Olives, which used to be at the Bellagio, will be back at Virgin. Night and Market, a Thai restaurant, very popular in Los Angeles, will be there. There's a lot of stuff going on. Hakkasan Group's going to do a Mexican cantina and restaurant. And maybe most interesting, the kind of the center space that was the center bar is going to become this huge area called the Commons Club that's going to have a restaurant and a couple different bars that are connected but separate. Sounds like a lot of fun and a lot of 24-hour fun. So the Commons Club is basically going to be the new version of Mr. Lucky's at Virgin Hotels. Company is going to release a new opening date pretty soon. They were planning to open in November. It's probably going to get pushed back as discussed last week right here on the Sun on the Strip podcast. We expect to hear from Virgin again in a couple of weeks. The Westgate is another just off Strip resort. It reopened in June, and my guest today on the Sun on the Strip is the resident headlining magician there at the Westgate Cabaret, Jen Kramer. I've been following along with Jen pretty closely since she first opened her show 2 years ago, and she took some time out to talk about what she's been up to during this downtime, how awesome it is to be a part of the Westgate family, and really that she's focusing on making her show the best it can be for when she is allowed to hit the stage once again at the Westgate Cabaret. Please enjoy this conversation with Jen Kramer.
So the Westgate reopened in the middle of June, and even though your show has not been able to get back in action just yet, I think you were there and part of the resort reopening celebration. What was that like to be there and be welcoming guests back to the Westgate?
It was so exciting. Just the energy in the air. We had Sir Winston, the Westgate puppy mascot, who's adorable. We had the shows were represented, and it was just exciting to see the legendary Vegas fun returning. And of course, I really miss doing the show. I can't wait to be back. But it was just great to be there with my Westgate family and all together to celebrate the reopening.
Yeah, I was thinking about, and I guess writing about the the closure of Le Rev at Wynn and how everything at that place is so unique to the Strip, because the resort really runs all that stuff, runs all the entertainment. But that's how it is at Westgate too. The performers, the producers of the shows at Westgate work together and support each other. And it really has this feeling of like a family style environment that probably makes it easier in some ways for you to get through these challenging times. But I'm sure you really miss being around your colleagues a lot too.
Oh, of course, of course. And it really is a special place. I mean, exactly like you said, it feels like family. And I love that. You know, I love the people I work with. I'm so grateful to be able to work with such an amazing team at Westgate. And I do miss them very much. And I'm very excited to be back doing the show. I can't wait until we can be back. But in the meantime, you know, we've kept in touch. And I've been working on adapting the live show so that when we are all allowed to return and do live shows again in Vegas, I'll be ready with a show that is COVID-friendly. So I've been working with my team of kind of magic engineers and consultants to dream up new ways of doing some of the magic so that, you know, we'd go through the show from beginning to end and think about each of the touch points and each of the moments that, you know, maybe someone would be coming up on stage or they'd be touching a prop. And we've been brainstorming and thinking, okay, how do we take this moment and keep it fun and keep it engaging, but make it something COVID-friendly? So it's been, you know, an exciting challenge to adapt the show and to you know, make those changes. And I definitely can't wait to be back on stage.
Yeah, I suppose there is an assumed advantage because your show is in the cabaret room, like a bunch of other shows are in that room. A very busy space, but because it's a little more intimate than like the big theater where Barry Manilow performs, it seems like it could be more likely that you guys will be able to get back to business pretty soon.
I hope so. You know, it does have flexibility in that the chairs can be moved, and so we could allow for social distancing. So, yeah, that makes me think that that it would be the kind of space that would allow for a COVID-friendly show.
I know some magicians and performers have been taking this downtime to create lots of content for social media and other stuff online. And then others are more focused on connecting with their audiences in other ways. Has this time off given you the chance to look a little deeper into your own performance and your influences, your inspirations, and maybe work on things in a different way?
It has. It's, you know, of course, been such a surreal time for everyone and such a difficult time in many ways. And as I mentioned, I really miss the show. I miss, you know, being in front of audiences live. I miss the wonderful people I work with. But at the same time, it has been an opportunity to really dive deep on the creative and, like we were talking about, make the adaptations to the live show, build new props and think about new ways of doing things. It gives me a chance to, you know, to really think deeply about the creative side of putting that magic together, whether it is I did a fun appearance on the Penn & Teller Try This at Home 2 TV special where I taught a magic trick that you can do at home to amaze your friends and family at home with peanut butter, jelly, and pickles. I did a bunch of that was fun. A bunch of appearances for Win Win Entertainment, which is a wonderful charitable organization based in Vegas that now has these virtual hospital visits. So before,
yeah, I saw some of those. I wanted to ask you specifically about that because you're able to, through Win Win Entertainment, you're able to basically visit pediatric patients in different cities from Las Vegas. What's that been like?
It's been wonderful, and I have to really commend Win-Win for pivoting so well, because pre-COVID, we would go and do these hospital visits in person, and we'd go to children's hospitals and perform close-up magic for pediatric patients, going from room to room, and it just, you know, it was such a wonderful thing. And ever since I moved to Vegas, I've loved being involved with Win-Win, and, you know, being able to just bring smiles to kids who are going through so much has, you know, been such a meaningful meaningful part of my Vegas life, and I think it's a wonderful organization. And the fact that now they've started this virtual hospital visits program means that virtually, you know, over Zoom or over Teams, we're able to connect with pediatric patients in hospitals all around the country. So, you know, whether it's Phoenix, whether it's Las Vegas, Kansas City, Charleston, you know, all around the country, being able to perform magic and make those kids smile, even though we're not able to be there in person, it's been really wonderful. And I can't say enough great things about WinWin.
The Mirage just reopened recently, and part of that reopening was they named the road that goes into the Mirage after Siegfried and Roy. Of course, we lost Roy Horn earlier this year because of COVID complications. That was very difficult for the magic community and the entertainment community at large in Las Vegas. It was really sad for me because I never got to see Siegfried and Roy perform. I wasn't doing entertainment, writing about shows back then when they were still around. So I missed out on that. Did you ever get to see that show?
I wish I had. It was before my time in Vegas as well. But Siegfried and Roy are just, I mean, they've been such legends in the magic and entertainment world. And it's absolutely such a sad time when I heard about Roy's passing. I was so sorry to hear it. You know, he and Siegfried, I like you, really wish I had the chance to see them live. But I know growing up in magic, they were two performers who I really admired. And I know the magic world will really, really miss Roy.
It also reminded me that the community of magicians in Las Vegas, even though there's a lot, you know, everybody's competitive and everybody wants to be unique and set themselves apart, there's a lot of camaraderie there too. And people go to see each other's shows and support each other. And I know that's something that you have been witness to since you've been in Las Vegas as well, right?
For sure. And I love the Las Vegas magic community and entertainment community. And, you know, like you said, it's really something special to have performers who support each other. I love going to other performer shows to support them. I love having them at my show. I think just having that sort of collaborative, supportive environment is really special and something that I value and something that I love about Las Vegas. And it's part of the reason that after I graduated from college, I knew that Vegas was the place where I really wanted to launch a full-time magic career. It was because of that community of just really wonderful, talented people supporting each other, and I'm very grateful for that.
To me, you kind of just got here still, because I've been able to, you know, see your show from the start, see it a couple times and how it's changed, and what you've been doing at the Westgate is such a fresh and different kind of a show, I think, for Vegas. How long has it been now?
Thank you. So we opened the show in May of 2018. It's been, you know, as of this recording now, it's a little over 2 years, which, I mean, it's been just such a dream of mine to do a Las Vegas show and have a residency. And like we were talking about, you know, Westgate is just such a special, magical place. You know, it really does feel like family, and I love getting the chance to do my show there.
Yeah, it feels also, you know, I hate to use the term throwback or whatever, but when you're at Westgate, no matter what show you're going to or what restaurant you're going to, it does have this kind of old school feel to it that I think a lot of people connect with, and it gives them feelings of you know, previous trips to Las Vegas and stuff like that. And I think that feeling kind of trickles through everything at the resort.
Totally. I mean, the history on that property, it's really amazing to think about. You know, back when it was the International and the Las Vegas Hilton, you know, you had Elvis Presley who was headlining there, you had Barbara Streisand. I mean, just so many really legendary, iconic performers. And I think, like you said, it really does, you know, you feel it in the atmosphere when you're on the premises, having that kind of history and you know, just seeing when you're in the Westgate lobby, seeing that statue of Elvis and the hundreds of performances that he did in the International Theater on property, it really is something that I think permeates throughout the property, that sense of history, that legendary Vegas fun.
Yeah, and I think the the way that entertainment at the Westgate is, there's so much balance. There's so many different kinds of entertainment and different shows there. I think that is something that people really are anticipating and can't wait to get back to as soon as this thing is over.
Thank you. And that's something I've loved also, is that there is so much variety. There really is something for everybody in the entertainment lineup at Westgate. You know, there's my show, which is a family-friendly magic show, as you know. There's the sexy show, The Female Review. There's, of course, Barry Manilow. There's George Wallace. There's The Soul of Motown. So there really is just a wonderful variety. And it kind of goes back to, again, supporting each other. It's so many talented performers in so many different ways. And we all, you know, we all really do feel like family and love supporting each other. And I can't wait to go and see all of their shows again.
Now, obviously, as you said, there are going to be some changes to your show and every show when you are allowed to resume operations. But do you think that this temporary shutdown and its effects, do you think that's going to change the way that you perform and change the way that you put your show together in other ways than just those kind of temporary changes?
I do. I think in a way it's been a creative challenge, because going through the show and thinking about all of the moments where people previously would either touch props or come up on stage, especially for a show like mine, which really is heavy on the audience participation. And that's something that I've always loved, is being able to really involve the audience. And I think now trying to think of ways to keep that audience participation, keep the audience feeling engaged and feeling a part of the show, but without having them come up on stage, for example, or without having them directly touch a prop that they might have touched otherwise. So I think there are definitely changes that I've made that are specifically in response to the COVID situation. But I also think, kind of answering your question to go beyond that, some of the changes that we've made for COVID reasons, you know, to be more safe and really thoughtful about that, I think have been a creative challenge that have really pushed me, and that I think are making the show better anyway. You know, or for example, there's one particular prop that we had built that was directly in response to, there's a routine in the show where you've seen it. It's a bill, a signed bill that belongs to a spectator, ends up inside of a tube of lipstick. And it's been a routine that I love performing because of that audience involvement. The only challenge was that, of course, in the COVID times that we're in right now, in this kind of new normal, there were moments in that routine that may have been problematic from a COVID perspective. So it got me thinking, okay, how can we keep the moments that I love so much about this routine, the engagement and the comedy, and just do it differently and do it in a more COVID-friendly way. And it ended up leading us to build a new prop for the routine. And now that that is built, and now that we've kind of worked out the new way that that routine will flow, I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is something that, you know, we created it in response to COVID, but I actually think it's just an improvement regardless. And even if, you know, we end up at a point where we could go back and do the routine the original way, I really prefer it the new way. I think that it's an improvement, and I really enjoyed doing the routine the old way, but I think, you know, doing it this new way, I think just really builds upon it. And even though it was created in response to COVID, I think regardless of COVID, it was a good creative challenge that really kind of pushed my team and me to build something that I think is even better, and that I really can't wait to share with audiences on stage.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm sure there's going to be many other examples of that same process. And I think that magic shows are going to be especially important once everything gets back online again, because they're so essential to Las Vegas. Las Vegas is really the only place where you have this many different magical productions going on. It really is the magic capital, and everybody recognizes that. So it'll be great to have the big concert residencies and all that other stuff too, but you really can't get magic the way that you get in Las Vegas.
It's true. Vegas is such a magic mecca. And I think as a magician, it was so exciting for me when I did graduate from college and made that decision to move out to Las Vegas full time, because it really had been a long time dream to do a show in Las Vegas. Because like you were saying, it is just the magic capital. There's so much exciting magic in Las Vegas, and so many different types of magic too. Sort of like we were talking about the variety of shows at Westgate, well, the variety of shows within the magic community as well. You know, there are family-friendly shows, there are shows that focus on illusion, there are shows that focus more on close-up magic. There's just, I mean, any type of magic that you could want to see, you can find in Las Vegas, and it's part of what I love so much about the city.
Well, talking to you about it and getting me even more excited to see these shows again, what else do you want to say to your fans and your followers and all the people who can't wait to see you on stage again in Las Vegas soon?
Well, everybody stay safe and stay healthy, and I can't wait to see you all. And in the meantime, I'd love to connect with you all virtually. You can find me on social media at Jen Kramer Magic, J-E-N-K-R-A-M-E-R Magic on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. I'd love to stay connected that way. And yeah, everybody stay safe, and hopefully we can all see each other in person again soon.
That's going to do it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Jen Kramer for taking time out to talk to me today. As she said, you can find her on social media. If you want to find some past episodes of The Sun on the Strip, all you got to do is go to lasvegassun.com/podcasts. You can also listen and subscribe to The Sun on the Strip at Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for listening. I appreciate it. Catch you next time around.